This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to Draft Sickos on the No Ceilings NBA podcast feed and YouTube channel. I am your host, Maxwell Baumbach, and joined at this time by the real star of the show, Stephen Gillespie. Stephen, how are you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing good, Maxwell. I just had a good, fun weekend. Just went to the Sub Bowl yesterday in my area. Mm-hmm. So wife and I got to get dressed up like we were in prom again and, got to go out, Grandma came in and watched the baby. Nice. So we got a hotel room like right off the river. It was a fantastic time. I got to drink and dance a little bit. So
beautiful.
Don't get too many of those nights, man. It was a good time. How about you? How was your weekend?
It was great. My daughter is getting to the age where she's like really into any sort of moving vehicle. So like trains, All that, trucks, all that stuff. So we decided to go on a train ride for the first time. So
what?
It was great. So we took like just the metro, like four stops, just so that she could get on a train a little bit. She loved it, had the time of her life, went out, did not plan we were going to eat beforehand. And then like conveniently, one of my wife's favorite restaurants that's quite expensive happened to be right near where we got off the train. It just
did
so
she
happened
plan the whole thing?
Tia Mia was there. No, the train was my idea. But as soon as she was like, let's go to this stop, I should have been like,
there it is.
Is it because your favorite Italian restaurant's right there with outdoor dining? So if our child is being a little rambunctious, it's going to be okay. Is that why we're picking that stop? But
nail on the head right there.
Yeah, but it was a blast. We got ice cream afterward. My daughter has not shut up about the train experience. She had the time of her life. She loved it. So did that yesterday.
Good dad stuff right there, man. That's awesome.
For sure. So yeah, it was a good time. It was a good weekend. And it's going to be a great show here because we've got...
Oh, man.
It's the Sicko Bowl. Man. And what the Sicko Bowl is, it's credit to Stephen for the name, by the way. What we have decided to do is Portsmouth Invitational is this week. I love Portsmouth. Portsmouth is my favorite. So if you're like newer to the draft space or you're someone who's just kind of like, I always use the phrase like airdropping in, like NBA season's getting to a close, we're getting to the end of the regular season here. If your team's not in the playoffs, you might be like, all right, let's brush up on draft stuff. The Portsmouth Invitational is the first of the like combine style draft events of the draft cycle. And what it is, it's an event exclusively for seniors and now graduates. It used to be seniors. Now it's guys who are out of college eligibility, basically. And you get the best of those guys. Some guys turn it down. Like your Dalton Knecht, your Kevin McCullough is like your really big names turn it down. But it's still a really good field. And I think part of that is we've seen guys really catapult themselves. Like last year, Tumani Kamara like ran right through Portsmouth. Like, he ran roughshod on the event. He came out, he was seeking a shot, which had been a concern, but it was really clear, like, physically he was in a different tier than a lot of guys. Ends up getting drafted, has an awesome season as a rookie for the Trailblazers. And we are also in the midst of Portsmouth announcements still coming in. So Santiago Vescovi is now draft eligible for us. So this
changes everything.
Yeah. So what we're doing is we are drafting each a team of the guys that we like in the upcoming Portsmouth Invitational. The field is largely announced. There's still a few guys that we might miss, which we'll touch on at the end. But most of the guys I think we're kind of mostly interested in are announced. Thank goodness they just announced Auburn's Jalen Williams like a minute before we went
right
live.
Before the show.
Love that. Thank you, Portsmouth Selection Committee. But we're going to draft a team. We're going to kind of like account for fit. Like, we're going to try to make our teams make sense positionally. Yeah. And then at the end, we're going to talk about some guys that either didn't make our rosters just because the fit wasn't great, but guys that we're still very much interested in that we think could make a mark. But we're basically going to talk about the guys in the Portsmouth Invitational that we think are interesting, and we're going to do it in a draft format.
And we're taking just five people, right? Like, if you're looking for – I know we're draft sickos, but if you're looking for a 12-man roster from this Portsmouth Invitational team, then we got some work to do. But right now, Maxwell, you and I are prepared to do a starting five and some honorable mentions.
For sure. And if you want to know, like, everybody in the field, I've got you covered. Come Wednesday on the site, there's going to be a full written preview covering every single player in the field. So if there are guys that – you know, we don't get to, stay tuned. Like, you're going to get thoughts on them from us later in the week on the written site at noceilingsnba.com. To determine the draft order, we're going to do a coin flip because we tried to do rock, paper, scissors, and we could not. Whatever minimal lag there is was making that next to impossible. So I also kind of screwed this up too. So my wife went to like a Coinstar machine the other day. So we don't even have a quarter for the coin toss.
No.
Nickel. We're tossing a nickel here today. So that's what we're working with. So we're going to do a heads or tails scenario. Shout out to Tyler Nickel, by the way, 3-point shooter in the transfer portal. If we're talking nickels in basketball, I've got to bring up Tyler Nickel.
We could be dropping dimes.
Yeah. So, Steven, I'm going to let you call it. I'm going to flip it, and then I'm going to do the thing where I catch it, and then I go like that, and then I'll show the camera whether we've got a heads or tails scenario. So
no shiftiness on your
part. Yeah, exactly. It. All right, so I'm going to do the flip. Are you calling heads or tails?
I thought you said you were going to do the flip catch
we'll
it and
the
then
air.
You call it.
Yeah, okay.
All just right. Do it when you catch it. When you catch it, I'll call it.
Oh, okay.
All right, what I got tails.
It is heads.
Ah, Maxwell.
I get the first pick. We're going to do snake draft style, if that's cool. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm cool with whatever you want to
do. Let's do snake draft style. I think I'm going to draft somebody that you don't expect me to draft number one.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to take with the first overall pick in the 2024 Sicko Bowl Portsmouth Invitational Tournament draft. I'm going to take Riley Minix from Morgan State. So,
okay. Explain yourself.
Yeah. I want one guy that I know can be like my guy who gets me a bucket. And I think Riley Minix has kind of proved himself to be that guy. So Minix was a transfer up from Southeastern, which is a NAIA program in Florida. Went to Morehead State this year and had some really nice games against high major competition. He was a guy that like got onto a lot of scouting radars pretty early. Saw him play like Alabama and Purdue, and he scored a lot. It was like the most efficient games. But people saw, hey, here's a guy who's 6'7". He's 230 pounds. He's built like a tank. Was a 40% three-point shooter at the NAIA level, but is still like a bouncy, above-the-rim athlete. He scored 20.9 points per game, 9.7 rebounds per game, 2.2 assists, 1.3 steals, one block. Shot 63.8% on twos. The three-point percentage did dip a little bit. It was 34.9 this year, but made almost 84% of his free throws. I think there's some reason for concern with Riley Minix. So the drawbacks of Riley Minix are that, and this is more talking NBA projection than like Portsmouth.
Yeah.
Right now, Riley Minix, in his role that he played for Morehead State this season, was a guy who operated out of the mid-post a lot. His NBA role is going to be a lot more like spread the floor as a three-point shooter and then attack a closeout. Which, because he was their star, like, he didn't really get to do. It was more like everything had to kind of run through him. So the role is going to look a little bit different. And if he is like a 35% guy as opposed to like the 40% guy he was before, maybe that's a little different. The calculus gets a little bit different as far as like how efficient he has to be as a shooter. Defensively, he's a really good team defender. He makes a lot of plays as a team defender. I thought he drifted a little bit at times in the Illinois game, and on the ball, he can be a little bit shaky laterally. That's one of those things that where like, he's so big that I'm like, maybe he like slims down a little bit. And I also think resources are like a really important piece to the conversation here. Like, we're talking about a guy who is NAIA and then at an OVC school. Like, he has probably not had the type of athletic resources around him that a guy who spent 5 years at Duke might have, for example. And I think that matters a lot. Like, you look at how Ben Shepherd like moved and jumped prior to the NBA combine last year. He was so upright all the time. Like, it looked like he was a guy who couldn't jump. And then at the combine, he's just running and moving completely differently. Like, having those resources does make a big difference. And I think that Riley Minix could be a guy who benefits from that. I just want my team to have one guy who I know can do a little bit of everything. And he's one of those guys that has it. And I think clearly has like at least a degree of NBA athleticism from like a strength and vertical bounce standpoint. It's just a question of like, is he going to move well enough? Is he going to hit spot up threes? But to me, the way that he stuffed the stat sheet this season and that those physical tools make him like one of the more interesting guys in the field. And since I'm looking at this as constructing a roster on a big board scenario, he's below the guy that you're probably going to pick number one with your first pick. But I think for this exercise, he's the guy I would want on my Portsmouth roster first.
Yeah, man, that makes sense, Maxwell. I'm glad that you did pick him. I just wasn't prepared for you to pick him. I specifically didn't scout a guy because I anticipated you picking him. So my analysis on my pick is going to be a little bit more shallow than normally you would see otherwise. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that you picked Riley, dude. I'll go through my notes on him. You know, his first real season at the D1 crushed it at this level. You're talking about a guy who was in the 93rd percentile in overall offense, 95th on post-ups, 84th on spot-ups, 93rd on cuts. Like, he was amazing across a lot of different levels, dude, especially at his size. And you mentioned, like, he's not just tall, but he's sturdy. And I think that gives him a good shot to really turn heads. I mean, talking about a guy who 35% really isn't the highest level of three-point percentage that you're going to see, but the fact that he was able to hit a respectable clip at the D1 level, his real first time up, that's something that you want to see. He wasn't really shy about it either. And Maxwell, one thing that I really liked about him was he didn't always like try to finish through contact, even though he had like, I think it was like 20 of 20 dunks on the year, which is
a lot of dunks,
pretty good,
and like 73.4% at the rim of the half court, which like, I get it. It's the OVC, but like, what else do you want? Like,
exactly. And when he did get a little bit of shy of physicality, his fadeaway is just so pretty, dude. Like, he squares up. He gets really good lift on it for not being a real poppy athlete. He still got great lift on his fadeaways, man. It was just, it almost looked like a video game whenever he was hitting a fadeaway. I'm really impressed with you, though, man. Going number one pick, you're getting a guy who dropped 20 points per game. You know, that's big time, man. So that does shift my pick a little bit again, because I wasn't anticipating him being available, but since he is, and I got snake draft, right? So I get two picks.
You get two in a row.
Oh man, you might have messed up a little bit, but
I know. I'm trying to do the right thing.
Okay. All right. Well, since you went score, I gotta go. I feel like I'm gonna zag a little bit, and I'm gonna go with a pair of wings who can both score now, right? Like, they're both capable scorers, but they're pretty nasty on the defensive end. The first one I'm gonna take our guy Jalen Williams out of Auburn. Yeah. I feel like that was the guy that you were anticipating me going with here.
He's the highest ranked player on my board of the Portsmouth participants, to be completely clear on that. Like, NBA team construct, I think he's probably the best prospect in the tournament going into this.
Where do you have him on your board?
Like, just outside the second round.
Okay. I have him
like
a little bit lower.
Realistically, he might be higher depending on how many guys like don't declare that I'm kind of hedging on. So
I have him and my next guy both in the 90s, so they're both, like, right there. But Jalen Williams, man, really big athletic guy, a guy who's been on NBA radars for the past few seasons now. Measures out at about, what, 6'7 to 6'8.
Yeah.
Big, sturdy frame. Shot nearly 40% from the three-point line this season, Maxwell. So on an Auburn team that has kind of a – there was a pretty deep team this year, I would say, in terms of name and production. Him really rising to the top of that. Real NBA athlete, real long NBA athlete. Love the defense. Loves the way that he can kind of, like, mirror the footwork of a ball handler. Mm-hmm. He's really strong, scales up and down the lineup. I think a real 2-4 defender if everything goes right. Just really impressive, you know, physique, finishing through contact. I don't have any of my synergy metrics or anything right off the top of my head, Maxwell, so if you can look those up for while we're doing this. But, yeah, I mean, he's I would imagine, just without looking, I would imagine that he's a good cutter, according to Synergy. And I would imagine that the spot up, he's got to be doing really well this year.
Yep. Yeah. 78th percentile spot up, 92nd on cuts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So just the type of dude that you want, like in the, so NBA context, right? You got a guy who's going to be a 3-and-D guy, and he's got a real chance of bringing both of those things. You know, Maxwell, we talk about one guy's like really heavy three, but because he's tall, maybe he can be a good defender. Or, well, he's a really good defender. If he just learns how to get the shot together, maybe he could kind of string it along. Again, I don't have him draftable, but depending on who declares and things like that, I think that it's not out of the question for him to be like a priority undrafted free agent when draft night comes around.
So here's like a context in which I've thought about. I did like a little bit of data work on him for the Portsmouth article, and I feel like I'm probably gonna have him higher. Dirty Dancer, the don't please don't go to OKC comment. So my thing with Jalen Williams is a guy like Seth Lundy was like picked in the 40s last year, and like Jalen Williams might, he's not the as willing of a three-point shooter as Lundy was, but like the role was a little bit different.
Exactly.
But he might just be like bigger and better at everything than Seth Lundy was. Like,
I think that's a possibility.
Yeah. So like he's a good rebounder. It was 39.5% from three this year. This jumper like looks a little funky. The percentages have been up and down, but I think I'm buying the jumper a little bit because he took what felt like tougher threes this year. Like it felt like he was contested on a heavier amount of them, which Synergy confirms. Like further behind the line. Like I think the shot has like really gotten there. And he's one of those guys who really pops on any sort of like dunks and threes type of metric. Like he is a very above the rim athlete. He's very strong. Yeah. 71.8% at the rim. So another one of these like awesome finishers. And then you talked about the defense and the footwork and the mirroring and things like that. I love how tight he can play smaller guys. Like a lot of these big guys that you talk about defending down the lineup, oftentimes it's, cause he's like, he's got length or whatever. And Jalen does have that length, but he's also like just strong and like trusts his feet and will play really tight on guys. So I like that about him too. I think this is an excellent pick. Still a guy I firmly considered at number one. You might have me regretting it a little bit right now, but
maybe
that's them's the breaks. So who are you going with for your second pick?
All right. So for my second pick, I don't think I'm going to catch you off guard with him either. A guy who's been on draft radars for a couple seasons. He's been mired by injury a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and go Isaiah Crawford here, Maxwell. What do you think about that pick?
Oh no, that was like key to my team's identity.
I mean, the fact that you wanted him there and the fact that I got him this high, he was going to be my number one pick because I thought you were going to go Jalen Williams here, but I went with Isaiah. So he's in the 68th percentile in total offense. He's had 20 plus possessions in all categories recognized by Synergy minus handoffs, right? So in the lowest one of those or the miscellaneous category where you really can't put him in one, and he's graded out as an average. He's only failed to score in double figures in five games this season. Two of those he played 15 minutes. The rest of them were against McNeese State, Louisiana, and UTEP. I love his frame too, man. So the fact that I'm able to get Jalen Williams and Isaiah Crawford, that really kind of rounds up the identity that I wanted, right? Especially with you going Riley. I want to go 3-and-D wings, people who are NBA-level athletes. I mean, this guy shot 40% from deep two seasons in a row now, Maxwell. he's a little bit of a like negative assist to turnover ratio guy, but I don't think that's really like a processing thing. I think that's really like the team around him type thing. And the fact that, so he measures out at about 6'6 to 6'7. The team that he plays for has to get kind of creative on both sides of the ball to where they have a decent bit of the offense run through him. And then defensively, he kind of does a lot of help, but plays like the four and the five. And ideally on a rotation, I think that he's going to be another one of these guys, similar to Jalen Williams, like a 2-4 defender. I think the ball skill is decent for where you want in like a complementary level wing. But overall, he can kind of get himself into trouble a little bit when he does, when he's asked to kind of create a little bit more. But the thing is when he does handle the ball, he's kind of a split between the left and the right side of the court. He's essentially 50-50 on wherever he wants to attack the floor. So I think that's going to help my offense out. Him and Jalen playing off of each other. I got two NBA level physiques. I got two guys who shot around 40%. And I think guys who can cover up and down the lineup. And if they need to with the ball in their hand, they can make a couple of plays. I'm not worried about these guys getting chased off the line.
For
sure. Two really good rebounders as well.
That's the other thing, too. I like Crawford a lot. Like, Crawford is a stat sheet stuffer supreme. Like, the two things that I wrote in my article about him is, like, one, this is a guy that you can't run a Bartorvik query, like, without running into if you're looking at just, like, multifaceted production. I agree with you totally on the assist to turnover ratio. Like, I just think this is a guy when he's in a more connective role and not like a guy who's being swarmed in the mid post. And it's a similar thing with Riley Minix. Like, I think it looks a lot better. I also wrote that I think there's a chance Isaiah Crawford is this year's like bizarro Craig Porter.
Okay.
And that, like, Craig Porter went to Portsmouth last year. And I think there's been like revisionist history where people are like, Craig Porter went to Portsmouth, killed it, got the two way. Like, Craig Porter,
everyone was going to get him. Yeah,
he was fine at Portsmouth. Mm-hmm. Like, Craig Porter was not awesome at Portsmouth. Like, go look at the number. Like, he was pretty good. But I think what Portsmouth did for Craig Porter was it got him in front of a lot of NBA teams. Probably got to interview with a lot of them, but also just like made teams look at the stat sheet and be like, oh my goodness, like who is this guy and what is this? Isaiah Crawford had a 5.8 block rate and a 3.8 steal rate. Like, those are bonkers numbers. He's 6'6", 6'7". He's got long arms. I don't know the wingspan. We're going to get it. I'd imagine it's at least 6'10". It's got to be at least 6'10". I'd bet 6'11". I thought he moved better this year. Like, in past years, he had like what I'll call like the Stone Cold Steve Austin bulky neck, like leg brace on, where like he had that knee brace that looked like it weighed 30 pounds on his leg. That's off. He's moving a little bit better. He is a really tentative shooter. He took the most he's ever taken this year at 3.1 per game. Like, I'm still a little hung up on that with him. We'll see how that looks and what it's like on higher volume. But I think this is a great pick. This is the guy I want.
2 years in a row at 40%, though, man. I mean, there's a little bit of credence to think that it's real, even though it is low volume. And I think, again, role has a lot to play on that, because who is the guy on his team that's setting him up for those open looks? You know what I mean? So I think that's a little bit of like – role necessity type thing
for sure. Let's go with my next pick here. I want to get my big man spot out of the way so I can like start to build around it. I'm gonna contradict myself in a moment. I'm gonna take Drew Pember from UNC Asheville.
Okay.
I love Drew Pember. I covered him during No Stone Unturned. He is a 6'11 big man, played two seasons at Tennessee, did nothing. Transfers to UNC Asheville and has like three really good seasons in a row.
Yep.
20.6 points, 8.2 boards, 3.5 assists, just under two blocks and a steal per game. Over the last 3 years, he is a 37% three-point shooter, and he gets respect out on the perimeter. Like, this is not the case if like a big guy who's just being left completely alone at the top of the key. He's also an 84.3% three-point free throw shooter on really high volume. He's a tremendous passer. Like, those 3.5 assists to 2.7 turnovers, like, this is a guy that is like kind of tailor-made for modern NBA offense. If you're having him zooming, if you're having him run handoffs, if you're having him pick and pop, like, there's a lot of NBA style actions that he's going to be able to execute pretty quickly. And with that shot, like, he gets to the free throw line a ton. 9.1 free throw attempts per game last year, 8.2 per game last year. He's really skinny, but the ball skills are great. So because teams have to come and close out on him, he's really good at faking and then just driving downhill and getting to the free throw line. Like, he is a great foul drawer, which is a skill as much as people don't like it. Defensively, he's a good rim protector. Like, he's got really good instincts around the rim. He's pretty bouncy. They played him a little more as like a four-ish like this year in certain lineups, so his block percentage dipped a little bit, but it's been as high as 11.3 in college, which is a tremendous mark. I'm drafting him as my big man here, but I will say in the NBA, I think he's a jumbo four that I would probably never play at the five. No. He weighs 215 pounds, and in games where he's faced like other big physical centers, he struggled with foul trouble because he has a hard time staying vertical through his chest. He has struggled with turnovers a lot. But I also wonder, like, how much the turnover thing is just like teams being like, let's just gang up on the one really good player on UNC Asheville. Because that was a problem for him. But like, he needs to play a lot stronger with the ball at the NBA level, like, period, point blank. That's got to change. So like, there are some drawbacks for Pember, but I think anytime you can get a guy that's 6'11", that's fluid through his feet, that can jump, that's got good hips, that can really sling the ball, like, this is just too enticing of a guy for me to pass up here. So that's what I'm going with my second pick.
I like him, man. And I like kind of the vibe that I'm getting from your team. First off, because these are the two guys that are featured on our thumbnail. So you have the all thumbnail team, right? Yeah. So that's great. Mm-hmm. And I like the offensive versatility that you're bringing, and you are creating a really good identity. And don't forget, man, Drew Pember last season had like this Clash of the Titans matchup against Taylor Hendricks too. And I think that was a big game for his resume. The fact that he was able to put up those numbers. Granted, he's an upperclassman. You kind of expect those things. But at the same time, the fact that he went up against an NBA player now in Taylor Hendricks and was able to have the performance that he had, that's just another feather in his cap. And I think it's also pointing to the fact, too, now, if you look at the transfer portal, I think that a lot of people are going to knock him a little bit, but he did already transfer, right? Like, this is a previously transferred athlete coming from Tennessee, going to a kind of a lower major conference, and year after year having team scout for him, specifically for him, and the fact that he's able to put up the numbers that he is, it's just fantastic. So, Maxwell, I believe that you have your third pick coming up next. Yep. Who are you going to select?
Before the third pick, I'm going to make everybody wait because we are going to take a quick break.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. So with my third pick, I wish I was like a little bit more confident in what I was doing here. I'm buying the Riley Minnick shot. I think I've got some good shooting. There's two guys I'm kind of torn between here, and they're both like probably only power forwards. So I want to be.
I think I know where you're going.
Let's go with Enrique Freeman. Let's get funky.
Oh, okay.
So Enrique Freeman is a guy who I I did a little thing on him. I did this piece like a month or two ago called Follow the Leaderboard, where I just wrote about like statistical leaders in the NCAA. He was the guy that popped up on that from Akron. 18.6 points per game, 12.9 rebounds per game for Enrique Freeman. So he is a phenomenal, phenomenal rebounder. He's only like 6'7", and he's listed at 207, which I think the weight seems low to me.
Yeah,
like, I would bet he weighs more than that. Like he looks bigger than it too. Just a force on the glass, and defensively, like another like genuine multi-positional defender. Like he can scale down the lineup. He was an All-MAC defensive team guy each of the past four seasons. Slides his feet well, good ground coverage, has good balance, shows some pop as like a weak side rim protector. The offensive game is pretty rudimentary. It's a lot of just like dive to the basket and dunk and like getting putbacks and things like that. He never really shot threes at all prior to this season. And this year he only took 1.5 per game, but he made 37% of them. So I think from an NBA standpoint, like this is a guy that I'm eyeing with like an Exhibit 10 two-way potential style contract. And I'm thinking like, can I just get this guy to shoot? Because if he does, then I've got this like kind of Swiss Army knife defensive four who's going to be a pain on the glass. He's going to play with the highest motor you've ever seen. And then if he can just like make an open shot, it's fine. Like that's all I need him to be able to do. Good free throw shooter this year, 72.8%, nothing crazy, but high volume. The ball skills leave a lot to be desired too. Like this is not a guy who you're going to run any offense through. You don't necessarily want him dribbling a whole lot. Not the greatest decision maker in the world, kind of plays like a post-up game. Like there are things that like need to be worked out, but I think that when you have a guy who like has these kind of physical tools and plays this hard, that it's sort of worth the swing. And then within my roster construction, I think it helps to have a guy next to Pember that's like another guy that's going to just like be tough and be on the glass in case Pember is struggling with his physicality at all.
I think that's interesting. I was actually thinking about that too when you were, you know, when you picked him. I'm looking at the fact that you got Drew Pember on your team, Maxwell. You got Riley Minix. Enrique is going to be your four on this team, right?
Yeah, so he's you got be those guys.
Okay, all right. So Riley has like Riley is going to have to be locked up by either Jalen or Isaiah for me.
Uh huh. And I think I think Freeman can like guard the other team's three if I need him to. Like if Minix's like lateral agility is not looking what I need it to, I think I can slide Enrique to the three, and I feel fine about that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I like that, man. I like Enrique as just kind of like a game wrecker. I think that that's a really good role, and I think that your roster construction actually makes sense in how NBA teams are going to want to try to scout each one of your guys too for how they transition up to the next level. So that makes a lot of sense. All right, Maxwell. So pick six, I feel like I'm cheating. I feel like I'm just, you know, taking candy from a baby. So to speak, because the highest ranked player on my board fell all the way to six and I'm taking him. Maxwell, you know that I'm a big fan of this guy. I got to go ahead and take Joel Soriano, dude, out of St. John's. I mean, I feel like he's falling through the cracks, man. Like, Maxwell, before I even get into my breakdown and how not only does he fit in the NBA but on this team, can you explain why he's not getting really, like, any draft buzz at all?
Yeah. I think part of it's age, which is, like, going to be a conversation with a lot of these guys. Yeah. So Soriano is, like, what I call, like, a double graduate. Like, he did a post-grad year in high school, and now he's a graduate player coming out of St. John's. I think a lot of it is just, like, how teams view the backup center position. Like, I think a lot of teams want, like, let's use the example of a guy who blew up last year, Trey Jemison. Like, they want a guy who's like, be huge and block shots and dunk. Yeah. I think they like that. And like, Soriano's not small, but like, Jemison was like 270. Like, Jemison was enormous. I think they want just like, hey, give me a defensive anchor or a really high skill offensive player. And Soriano's like, not really either. Like, he's effective. Like, he's going to do the stuff that like you're going to talk about a little bit. I just think with Soriano, he's almost hurt by not having like an identity of an archetype that we see in the NBA a lot.
Yeah. So as I was watching his film today, just kind of like refreshing, getting ready for this exercise, this isn't going to be a sexy sell, but I still think that it has NBA staying power. Picture picture DeMarcus Cousins without the ball handling and without, like, I think
he can shoot. I think he could shoot. Because he always makes long twos, and I wrote about this when I covered him for No Stone. Like, he made a couple of his series this year, but he's always been like a 46% long two shooter. Like, he's always been really good on those.
He shot 41% this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you take the ball skill out of DeMarcus Cousins, and DeMarcus actually was a better vertical threat too. But if you take, like, I don't know, 75% vertical threat for DeMarcus and the lack of the ball skill, I think that's not too far off from where Soriano is right now, man. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got good post moves, right? He's got good size. He's listed at 6'11", 250. He might be an inch smaller. He might be around that 250 to 260 frame. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy who is 95th percentile in offense overall, 82nd in post-ups, 92nd on the roll, 62nd on putbacks. He had an offensive rebound percentage of 14.2, defensive rebound of 23.2. So pro level rebounding numbers, especially for the center position, right? A 6.6% block percentage. Again, like, really good. 55.3 free throw rate. He was 7 of 16 from three this year, Maxwell, which is where that
mm-hmm.
3-point percentage comes from. But he's also a 70% 3-point shooter or free throw shooter on his career. Yeah,
last 3 years he's made his free throws on high volume.
Very good touch. He's very strong, a very suitable build for a rotational big man. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. Like, I'm not talking about him being a starter or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
right? I love his screen setting. He creates good separation for the ball handler and also carves out, like, really good lanes for himself. I wish he had, like, 3 to 5% higher lift on his lobs, because he is a very under the basket big man, mm-hmm. and he does get a lot of lobs and he does convert them. It's just that most of them are layups, right? Like,
he dunks a little more than you would think. But but it's also a lot of, like, he's not like the most vertically explosive guy. And that's why the shot blocking numbers are more like okay than great.
Yeah, and we got a comment in here too. That's funny. So 24 Seconds says, so he's Enes Kanter. Would you not draft Enes Kanter in the second round? I mean, would you
Well,
not
that's the thing, is like, we're talking about him as like an undrafted guy. So it's like, if you get modern and his freedom off the scrap heap, like, that's
without
fine.
The
like,
Fox
that's fine.
Without the Fox News career path and all that stuff, right? Like, just getting a dude that loves basketball, right, and who has done it for a good amount. I mean, I would draft Enes Kanter in the second round, right? Like, I sure, and that's my thing, is like, Joel Soriano is really good, dude. Like, mm-hmm. he does have good shot, he has good patience and decisiveness in the paint. He has higher assists than turnovers, 47-30-37. So his processing is there, right? Only 6 steals. So that shows kind of like the limitations athletically that we were talking about with, like, to the DeMarcus Cousins comp. And that hurts, like, the stocks to foul ratio that I talk about a little bit. He's going to be a drop big. Like, he's not very good on the switches and things like that, but he's good in post matchups and he's good in a straight line. I have him 69th on my board right now. So, like, I even have him, like, as a priority undrafted free agent. But of all the people that are listed on our, you know, Portsmouth Invitational rosters that we have, mm-hmm. he is easily number one for me.
I think that's completely reasonable. I just where I come back with him is just, like, basically what I mentioned. Like, I worry about, like, if he carves out an identity. I do think, to your point, I think he has, like, real, like, innings eater value, if that makes sense. Like, I think he's the guy that, like, won't get killed. And, like, a certain point, that's worth more than, like, an idea of a guy or a guy that will get you killed on the court. I think he's, like, a little lighter on his feet than I realized. I just worry about him, like, staying above board defensively. And then, like, the offensive game is so just, like, put back oriented that if he is below water on defense, I then just worry about, like, well, what am I getting? Like, at that point, is it a situation where maybe I just go with a guy who's, like, either bigger or, like, a little more offensively skilled?
And I think that makes sense too. And, like, again, he's not a bad athlete. It's just that he does get a lot of lobs and he's got a good amount of dunks on the year, but he's just not, like, one of these guys that's you're going to see patting his head running back to get set on defense all the time. So, Maxwell, for my next pick, I'm going to get another kind of bigger guy. And this, like, when I'm building an NBA team, I typically go down this path. I value size, especially versatility on both sides of the ball. I don't know how mad you're going to get at me for taking this guy, but I got to go Kevin Cross, dude.
I kind of screwed myself. He was the guy I was thinking about when I took Freeman.
Okay.
But I thought I'm going to go more like rim protection-y than like skill ball. Cross is awesome. Like I really thought hard about Cross at several different points. He's great.
You could have got Enrique Freeman on your next pick too, by the way. Like,
sure, I'm sure I could have. Yeah.
Yeah. It really wasn't like dying to get him, but yeah. So Kevin Cross, man, like, he is interesting to me because, and I feel like I can kind of take a swing on him because defensively, Maxwell, like, he shows some fun stuff, but I don't know how much I'm buying into the defense. You know what I mean?
Fine,
like,
yeah.
It's hit and miss. There's highs and lows. I think, like, especially if we're looking at Portsmouth matchups, like 5-on-5, I think that he's got passable defense, especially with, you know, the way that the rosters are breaking down, right? So coming out of Tulane, he's like a wing forward. I think that my team is pretty swishable now with Jalen, Isaiah, and now Kevin. I mean, a 42% three-point shooter on the season. Now, he did have a plus 13% leap from last year to this year, and he's a career 30% shooter from deep. So I don't know how much of if that percentage is like a false floor, but he took a lot of difficult shots this year too, if that means anything into how people evaluate prospects, right? He's in the 90th percentile in total offense, including assists. So he's a good playmaker too. So I have like some ancillary playmaking pretty much all over the court now. He's in the 87th percentile in spot ups, as you would imagine with that 3-point percent, in the 85th in ISO. How about he was in the 65th percentile as a role man too? So I have another guy who I can run some pick and roll action with too. I think that he's very balanced on the offensive end. Tulane, much like how I was talking about with Isaiah Crawford, Tulane has a very funky lineup rotation too, where like in one possession, Maxwell, you can see him set a screen, run off of an off-ball screen, handle the ball in the pick and roll and hit the cutter, or just pull up and hit a three, right? Like there's like no shortage of things that this guy could do on offense this year. He can get a little bit of tunnel vision whenever he is trying to create with the ball in his hand, which I do need to address. I have a lot of ice cubes in my drink right now, Maxwell. I'm lacking the proverbial straw. But I think that the guard position is probably one of the deeper positions
of
the class, which is why I think that you and I both are just like, let's save the point guards for last. Yeah, exactly. I think that he's a solid athlete, but he's not like super explosive. He can get up over the defense a little bit on the pick and roll action, but his fight to get back in the play is kind of waxes and wanes, which he could be a little bit of a victim of the he does a lot on offense. Maybe we're not asking him to do too much defensively. And playing next to Zion James, like those two had a lot of really fun actions together. So really, Maxwell, I'm looking at my team right now. I got my enforcer in the paint. I got my 3-and-D versatile wings. I was going between him and I might have surprised you if he falls outside. He'll be my first mention in the honorable mentions.
Okay.
And with Jalen Williams declaring today, I think that really helped me out
for
with the construction of my team today. But yeah, man, I went Kevin Cross. What do you think about that selection?
I like it a lot. Yeah, I like Kevin Cross a lot. I did a more Stones Unturned piece for No Ceilings Plus for the start of the year. He was the guy I covered during it. Just so skilled. Like another stat sheet stuffer, like 17.5 points, 7.3 rebounds, 4.6 assists, 6'8", moves pretty well. I think the question, like you mentioned, it's just going to be the defense. Like he moves okay. I think his worst defensive moments were like when he was the five, because they played pretty small this year. And like, that's just not going to be what he's going to be asked to do in the NBA. So then it turns to like, is he going to be quick and strong enough to deal with NBA fours? And then it turns on offense to like, is he going to be able to keep the defense honest from deep? I think it helps a lot that like, he actually has a handle. Like he can put the ball on the floor really well.
He sees the floor well too. He's got that connective passing.
Unbelievable passer. So I think like you can short roll him. You can run him through handoffs. Like you can do a lot of stuff with Kevin Cross that's like going to provide value to the offense. And he's just a really smart player. very interesting. I think like where he kind of settles athletically in with the shot is going to kind of swing where teams fall about him. But a guy I really considered high, and I probably should have taken high instead of panicking about if Drew Pember is too weak. So let's do the eighth pick. Since you're going so forward heavy, I feel like I need to also. Like, you have a ton of size out there.
Okay.
So I'm going to take another forward, and then we'll do our final break. Let's just go through it, and then we'll talk snubs in the last segment. I'm going to go with Malafe Leons.
I knew it.
From Bradley. So he's a guy that I actually had the pleasure of interviewing, liked him a lot. Guy who loves basketball, which is good. But a guy that I've been like fairly interested in for a while, and then came away pretty high on after my last kind of film dive on him. So he, 13.8 points per game this past year, 7.1 rebounds, 1.3 assists, 1.7 turnovers. Another guy where like, kind of like Enrique Freeman, like the ball skill stuff's like a little shaky. Don't love the handle. Don't love the passing. It's fine. It's nothing crazy. But he's the guy who can knock down like open shots pretty well, like 36% 3-point shooter. Leons is a guy where all he needs to do is just be able to knock down spot up threes.
That's it.
Because he is 6'9". Mm-hmm. He is incredibly long, and my goodness, does this man play defense? He is a menace defensively. He moves pretty well on his feet, so like he can guard down pretty well. Like, I thought when I was toying with roster construction today, I was like, I think depending on how my team shakes out, like I might be able to play him at the two. And like,
yeah,
because like, he moves his feet pretty well. Yeah. So, yeah. But he's like really helpful defensively. Like, he gets into a lot of stuff around the basket as a helper. Like one of those, like I call guys like this lazy punishers, where it's like, up, you dribbled and you turned your back on a guy. You shouldn't have done that. That's lazy. Like, he's going to take that. He threw a lazy pass. He'll get to it. But like, yeah, like, excellent nose for the ball everywhere. 2.7 steal rate, 5% block rate, and like always been that guy. Like, always just been a phenomenal defender. The question is just like, is he going to provide enough offensive value? I think he got better as a cutter. He got better at like finding opportunities on the offensive glass this season. He's a guy who has a little bounce to him. I would like him to fill out his frame a little bit, just to be a little bit stronger. But I really think he's one of those guys that, like, if he can just knock down the open three here and there, like, he's going to have a rotation spot for a long, long time.
Yeah, I like him, man. The interview that you did with him was great, man. And you can just tell by listening to him how much he enjoys the game. Mm-hmm. Very smart guy, very cerebral. I think that we don't talk about basketball players' intelligence probably anywhere near as mm-hmm. what we should, because we talk about, like, their feats of strength and athleticism, things like that. Malfi is like an incredibly intelligent, cerebral defender. And he's also like made great strides on the offensive end too. And I know that in the interview, he said that he's working on the shot. Like, that's really the one thing that he's got left to do. Mm-hmm. If we unlock Maxwell, like if I tell you that he's going to be 33% from NBA threes, mm-hmm. how confident are you in him as an NBA player?
Fairly confident. I think he's probably got to be closer to league average, just because like he's not like a great like chase off the line like ball handler type guy. But I think if he gets to like 35-36, you're in business, like long term, like serious business.
I was gonna work my way up to that 35 mm-hmm. to 36 range, but yeah. I even think 33, you're talking me into, yeah, he's like easy two-way guy, right? Mm-hmm. But if he gets to that 35, and I think that everyone's like, well, what about 37, 38? Like, that takes a lot, man.
That's
like,
a lot, yeah.
Someone and
it
who
can
can't
happen.
Shoot,
like,
it can.
And I wouldn't say he can't shoot, because, like, he's been at, like, 36% is not terrible. And great free throw shooter, too. Like, just a smidge under 80% through college. So, like, I think it's totally workable. And I'm going to pull up, like the catch-and-shoot numbers were this year, because I think the catch-and-shoots are pretty solid. I think it was, like, one of those situations where you may have had to take a couple, like, hey, I didn't really want to take that dribble pull up. So yeah, 39.5 on catch and shoots and 41.2% on the unguarded catch and shoots. So it's like, you can't leave them open.
Yeah.
Nothing else. So.
And then you get into the whole discussion is like, okay, well, do we give Malvi the 1 3-point shot that he's going to get on the 41%? Then mm-hmm. that's a whole nother level of discussion. But
yeah,
if he does get to that point, at least he's being able to have these discussions had about him, as opposed to mm-hmm. probably where like a lot of people have him on their boards now. But I love him, dude. Like, one of the best, if not the best defenders in the entire class. And that's saying a lot. And if you got an NBA skill in this year's draft, like, you got a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've got my last pick here. I'm trying to think, like, do I want to go like a guy that helps my team win, or do I just go like best pro prospect?
I think that the point of the exercise was to win in a 5-on-5, but I also think that, like, I've been going to NBA prospect heavy.
I've been kind of more focused on that lens too. I think I'm going to throw a curveball at you because I've not seen this guy get a lot of love as a pro prospect.
Oh, and
like,
no.
Picking this guy is, I think it's going to hurt like my voting totals on Twitter for sure. Like, between the fact that, like, I've already got
take the guy that I'm going to take.
I don't think I'm taking the guy you think you're going to take. I'm going to take Talon Cooper from South Carolina.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
So Talon is like not an NBA radar, like, buzzy name. He's never scored more than 10 points per game. I think he's one of those guys, and like, this is a weird comparison to throw up, but like, you know, those like Shaq Harrison style guards that are just like always on an NBA roster somehow.
Yes.
Where it's like, they're usually guy like 10 through 15. And like, they might never be a guy that you play a ton. They might never be a guy that's like on a giant contract for a long time, or a guy that you play in playoff games, but like, they're just good.
Yep.
Good enough to like be in the league. I think Talon Cooper might be one of those guys. So Talon Cooper is 6'4". So we're already like, great starting point, like real positional NBA size for a guard. And he's a real point guard. He gets into the paint consistently. 4.2 assists per game to 1.2 turnovers. And like, even at Minnesota, where he's on ball more, like 6.3 assists per game, like genuine good creator, like knows how to run an offense, doesn't screw up, sees the floor well, has the tools to get inside, and a really excellent three-point shooter. Like, even in prior years where the percentage hasn't been like unbelievable, he shoots them from NBA. And he's really good off the catch. Like, he is an excellent off the catch three-point shooter. He made almost 46% of his threes this year. And even though like the steal and block rates weren't that great this year, watch South Carolina's last game against Tennessee and watch how he defended Dalton Connect. Like, they gave him the Dalton Connect assignment, and it's because he's big, he's burly, he's strong, he can stick to a guy on the ball, but he's still quick enough that he can chase guys around screens if that's what you need him to do. So I see a 6'4", 3-and-D guard that's an excellent decision maker. And I get it. Like, he didn't score a lot. And guys that don't score a lot in college, you know, NBA hit rate on those isn't awesome. But to me, he's a lot more interesting than some of these small guards that score a lot of points and can't pass or play defense. Like, I think Talon Cooper is a guy you could put kind of next to anybody. And he still has enough, like, real point guard juice to do the point guard stuff. But if he's off the ball majority of the time, he's going to do that and play his tail off on defense on the other end. Smart player, good build, just tailor-made for an NBA role.
I love it, man. I love it. So you didn't take the guy that I'm going to take, and I'm still kind of hesitant on whether or not I want to take him based off of your guy. Screw it. I'm just going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. All right, so I was tipped off on this player by a mutual friend of ours and a friend of the program, Nathaniel Miller. He told me that he just talked to you about this guy.
Yep.
He talked to me today, so I feel like you already know where I'm going to go.
Yep.
Let's get Danis Jenkins, dude, out of St. John's. I'm going to go ahead and take him. And now, similarly to Cooper, right, Danis Jenkins really isn't like the highest name of all these guards that are in the mix. But when I'm looking at pro prospects, so he's probably a little bit lower down, right? So let's talk about – just throw out some names of guys. Aaron Estrada, AJ Hogard, Vescovy, if I wanted to go for a little bit more like supporting cast guard, Walker out of Michigan State. Like, there's a few guards that I've seen and heard about. Danis Jenkins is actually a new commodity for me, like sitting down and analyzing his game. Now, he's a teammate of Joel Soriano, so I have a little bit of chemistry already baked into my team there, right? So that's helpful. But he's 6'3", listed at 165 pounds, but when you watch Maxwell.
Yeah. That's not right.
When you watch him play, he is not afraid of anything. Like, very, very fearless, right? He previously played at Pacific and Iona. I'm kind of surprised by his low free throw rate. Could you explain that a little bit, man? Because, like, he's in the paint a lot, and he's, like, manipulating around defenses, but he doesn't go, like, straight up into the chest of people a lot, so that's probably why. Yeah.
Yep. So I just did my write-up on him the other day. He takes a lot of like bad angles at the rim. Like, he takes a lot of like I didn't quite get where I want. I'm going to drive super wide and I'm going to throw something up. He needs to either like pass those off or like try to just fight to the rim. Like there's way too much, like not quite where I want, but I'm shooting it. Like there's a little bit too much of that stuff, which like, I think is fixable. Like Jameer Watkins was weirdly enough, like totally different type of player, but he's a guy who did that a lot when he was at VCU where it's like, I'm driving. I don't like what I got. That's too bad. I'm shooting it. Like,
hopefully like, someone touches like
me. Of that. Yeah. To Danis Jenkins. But I do think he's like awesome. And like, he's
15 points a game, 3.5 rebounds, 5 assists, over 1.5 steals, half a block per game. He shot 44, 35, 85 from the floor, 2.5 turnovers per game, 2.5 fouls per game. And just listen to some of these, dude. Like, he's only in the 54th percentile in total offense. That jumps all the way to the 86th percentile when you include assists. He's in the 74th as a pick-and-roll ball handler, 89th in spot-ups, 81st in handoffs, 87th when it comes to dribble jumpers, right? Mm-hmm. And in the 68th in catch-and-shoot. So I'm looking at this guy. I love his splits. I love his size. I love his mentality. And then when I'm pairing him with Jalen Williams, Isaiah Crawford, Joel Soriano, again, who's his teammate, and Kevin Cross, I love the makeup of that team, dude. I love the athleticism. I love the positional size. I love the chemistry that I have between him and Joel. They have experience running those pick and rolls together. He knows exactly where Joel wants them. Oh, and then defensively, he's got a 1.9 blocks percentage and a straight up 3 steals percentage. So he's not a zero on the other side of the floor either, man. Like has a little bit of twitch. I'm not going to sit here and try to sell you that he's like the twitchiest guard in all of the land, right? But he's definitely a capable baller, dude. And I'm glad that I got him to kind of round out my starting or to round up my 5 here.
Yeah, he's really good. I think he's probably the guard prospect that is a crew like we've heard the most buzz on heading into Portsmouth. Like he just seems like a guy that a lot of people are interested in. And it's like obvious to see why. Like he's, like you mentioned, like a really good passer, like really good at just like seeing the entire floor, but also like just fitting the ball through tight windows. I think the shot is like an interesting discussion with him because he was like a 36% 3-point shooter and like he's never been a great shooter, but he made like 51% of his pull-up twos this year and made 85% of his free throws. So it's like a real like late bloomer in terms of just shooting that like maybe that's a guy where you buy the shot. The defense rocks. One of those guys who like he's not super vertical, but like his timing is just awesome. Like really good at making rotations and occasionally just like blocking a shot around the cup. Aggressive and like still pretty like calculated, like knows when to swipe the ball at the point of attack, when he can help dig. Like another guy who's got like we talked about like with Jalen earlier, like he's got the feet to like really play guys tighter than other guys are capable of doing. Like he's not a guy who like he makes a lot of plays, but he's not playing defense with the sole intent of making plays. Like it's not like I gotta get steals. Like that's not how he's playing.
But he gets them.
Yeah. So I like Danis Jenkins a lot. He was like the other guard I thought about with my roster construction. I wanted to go Jalon Cooper just because I wanted like one guy who I know can like really truly run the show offensively and set the table like first and foremost. And I wanted a little bit more shooting just in case like Leons and Freeman aren't knocking him down. So wanted to go with him, but I think he's a really good pick. I think he's probably the most if you like put a gun to my head and you're like, who do you think? And this is a situation that happens to us sometimes. People will put a gun to our head and say, like, which prospect that's a guard at Portsmouth or team's most interested in? I'd guess it's probably Danis Jenkins.
And hopefully you would live to tell the tale.
Yeah. And I think it's also worth noting, like he had a really successful up transfer season because he was at Iona. He was like the other guard next to Walter Clayton, who did like the playmaking stuff because Clayton like wasn't fully actualized in that front, was a better off ball guard. He just kind of slid under the radar and had a really good season at St. John's. So I think he's somebody worth buying in on. So for our starting fives, let's run down your lineup and then we'll run down mine.
All right, so I'll go 1 through 5. All right, so at the 1, Danis Jenkins from St. John's. At the 2, this is where it could get interesting here. Yeah, let's say that let's give Isaiah Crawford the nod at 2.
Okay.
I'll give him the nod at 2 at 6'6" at Louisiana Tech. At the 3, Let's go. Jalen Williams will be listed at the 3, about 6'8" out of Auburn. And then at the 4, we got Kevin Cross, 6'8" out of Tulane. And then at the 5, at 6'11", teammate of Danish Jenkins, will go Joel Soriano. That's my 5.
Awesome. All right. So for mine, at the 1, we've got Talon Cooper out of South Carolina. At the 2, we're going with 6'9" Malachi Leons. At the 3, we're going to go with Riley Minix out of Morehead State. At the 4, we're going Enrique Freeman from Akron. And at the 5, we're going with Drew Pember. There are a lot of really interesting guys in this field that we didn't get to. So we're going to take a quick break and run through some of our favorite names. So stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, so let's talk about our favorite undrafteds. Do you want to do it like positionally?
No, I'm just gonna go by who I like the most.
Yeah, who else you got?
Yeah, so again, Jalen Williams like saved my skin because I had a feeling that you were probably gonna go either Minix or Crawford if that was the case, maybe Pember. And I was fully expecting with the way that I was going to build my team, I was going to need some spacing. So I was fortunate that Kevin fell to me when he did, because if he was going to be gone, I was going to take Jameson Battle out of Ohio State.
Like Jameson Battle. Yeah.
He's not the sexiest prospect. He's 6'7". You know, again, like all these other guys, he's a senior. He has just been like a collegiate journeyman who is like a career, 36% 3-point shooter, something like that.
Yeah, and it was like something crazy this year. It was like 44. And like he's always been like a mid-range assassin. Like he was one of those guys that was the man at like George Mason and then Minnesota. And like that like hurts your efficiency. And then like this year you see him like in an actual off-ball role for the first time. And it's like, whoa, like this guy is massive and he can shoot. So I worry about the defense with him.
Oh, absolutely. Like, there's like no defensive metrics assigned to his name.
It's tough. But anytime a guy is that big and can shoot, I think it's a case of like, maybe we just figure that out. Like, maybe we just hope that we bring this guy
Hopefully you turn into minivan, right?
Yeah. Sure. Exactly. Yeah. Like that's the idea. Mm-hmm. I'll throw one out there. So another guy I thought about quite a bit was the guy I actually just interviewed was Quincy Oliveri out of Xavier. I think like we've talked a lot about that, like just off ball scoring role that like a lot of teams could use. And I think Oliveri is like one of those guys where like, he is first off, like really smart. Like the interview I did with him is not up yet, but like when it's up, like go listen to it and tell me that you think teams like won't be blown away by this guy. Like he knows his stuff. He like deeply loves basketball. I think with him, like what's going to be challenging is like the role he's had to play is going to be a little bit different than like what he's going to be asked to do as a 6'3" guard in the NBA. Like he's not like a bad like playmaker for others. Like he's not like, he had a positive assist turnover ratio this year. But he's not like Mr. like run the pick and roll and make a bunch of reads. He was mostly like run off of actions, like come off of a handoff and shoot a three, or like spot up and shoot a three, or like run a pick and roll, but we really need you to be the guy that scores. Like it was a lot of that kind of stuff at Xavier this year. I scored 19.1 points per game, but shot like 40.9% from three on high volume in his first season at a high major program. One of those guys who's like a like quote unquote like smaller guard, but he's like built like a tank, which is really important, like super, super strong. I thought about like I would have taken him if you went smaller at all. Like I really like was thinking about like taking him where I took Malachi at like the 2-guard spot. But your team was just so big that I was like, like I need like my table setter. So I went in a different direction with that. But he's the guy that I like a lot too that's in the field. One other guard I want to throw out is like I think Tyson Walker is like going to be really good at Portsmouth. Like I don't see it as like an NBA thing because he's so skinny, but I think he's the guy that's gonna have like a huge game at Portsmouth at some point. And I think like a sneaky name is Xavier Johnson from Southern Illinois.
Yeah, there was a few guards. Those two are good. I got two names. And I'll give it back to you to for Xavier Johnson, but the other guard that I was going to throw out there was Vontaris Woolbright was going to be the other one that I was considering. Yeah.
So Woolbright has like diehard fans.
Yeah.
Among basketball people. I don't see it with Wolbright. Like, so Wolbright is like one of these guys who averages like 23, 12, and 6.
Yeah.
He doesn't shoot
at all.
And it's like super heliocentric, and he doesn't play defense. So for me, it's always been like, I get that he's talented. I just don't know, like, what does this look like in the NBA when, like, you
yeah.
have to be complimentary.
I didn't know where I was going to go with the guards. Like, I had to go through all of my guard evaluations for, because a lot of them can't shoot. Like, a lot of the, a lot of the guards that are NBA prospects, like, can't shoot that are in this class. Like, even Aaron Estrada is like, he was a guy that used to be a really big shooter, but like his efficiency kind of went down this year. At Alabama, AJ Hogard was a guy who's kind of like 34-35%, but not like super confident about
you
this
never trust
moving forward. you never trust that. Santiago Vescovi, I was thinking more as like an off-ball guard, and even his three-point shot, like, for whatever reason, has fallen off a cliff.
That's the guy where, like, I feel like there's got to be injury stuff, like,
because
he had a weirdly strange year.
Like it should be on the ID network. Like, what happened to Santiago Vescovi's shot? Like, that's in there. The last guy, and if you would have grown a wild hair for whatever reason, Maxwell, and taken my guy, Joel Soriano, I had a backup big in mind. And I know you're going to love this guy. Jesse Edwards out of West Virginia.
Jesse Edwards is good. Yeah.
Yeah. I was really considering him. I thought that you were going to pair him with Pember. And I think that you still could have gotten away with that. But Jesse is one of these dudes, man. So he's 15 points per game, 8 rebounds, over 1.5 blocks per game this year at West Virginia. But his two seasons at Syracuse, he was well over 2.5 blocks per game, right? So he's a proven shot blocker. He's kind of been like what I have in my notes is like a B-lister of big men in college basketball
for a while.
But he's always put up big numbers or solid numbers, man. He's in the 93rd percentile in total offense. And now I know that, like, analytics love, like, around the basket efficiency, which he is, by the way. I mean,
61%
on his field goals. That's crazy. He's a great lob threat. He's coordinated too on those lobs. He's not like one of these awkward, like, Hashim the Beat lob threats that, like, hopefully if he, like, grows into his athleticism, it gets there. He's very coordinated, dude. I like his effort, second effort, pretty mobile on both ends, has some good timings on blocks, has a little bit of post moves, but nothing that I'm wowed about. And he screens well, despite being listed at, like, what, 215?
Yeah, so, he's listed real light.
Yeah, I think that he's probably a little bit bigger than that. But I don't know, man. Like, especially at the college level and, like, a 5-on-5, I was really considering him because he is pretty mobile. And I think that he's another one of these guys that I think NBA scouts are probably going to go down there and look at Jesse Edwards in a contest like this and be like, do we want to get some more reps of him, like, at these other combines? Like, there goes my sorry about that.
Oh, you're good.
I will just restore my confidence here real quick and my abilities. Yep, there we go. I'm back. But yeah, Jesse Edwards as like a NBA big. I think that there's going to be some teams that might be able to talk themselves into more extended looks at Jesse Edwards.
For sure. Really good offensive rebounder and a guy who, like, has the actual size and blocks a lot of shots. Like, that, like, it's like we talked about, like, sometimes, like, teams just want simple with their bigs, and, like, that's him. He's long armed, bouncy, rebound, shot block, dunk, and, like, that's it. Not a great free throw shooter.
What else do you need?
I was, like, a little surprised. Like, one, I don't know, like, that West Virginia team had, like, so many things wrong with it this year that it's, like, hard to know how much to take away from this season, and it just stinks because it's, like, the first season you got to see him in, like, not zone defense a lot. But yeah, he's definitely like a guy worth monitoring because if he does have a good week, like, he's probably closer to what a lot of NBA teams are looking for in a big. Another big off threat there is Brandon Carlson.
From I was going to mention
him
too.
He's real old, like, he's like 25, but he's really good at shooting. Like, so if you're a team that's like, we want to play five out, there's Brandon Carlson.
Give him a look. Yeah,
he's skinny. Like, I think he's listed like 225 or 215, something like that. He's light. He's not a great rebounder, but he's one of those guys, like, that Davion Smith on their team is like one of those 6-foot guards who gets like 8 rebounds a game a lot of the time.
Yep.
And then Oh, we had a bit of a meltdown going on here. Bear with me.
I know how it goes, man.
So Carlson took about 5 threes a game, made about 38% of them this year. And it's a pretty shot. He can move into it. He made a lot of his threes as a pick and pop guy. He made a lot of his transition threes. Like, it's just hard to watch that guy play and not buy the shot. And he's pretty bouncy. Like, he's one of those guys where the block rate's nothing crazy. But you watch him play defense, and it's like his rotation timing is really good. A lot of the time, he gets off the floor super easy. Like, he uses a lob target on offense. Like, he's a good player who can do like functional skill stuff. I like Brandon Carlson. I get that he's older, but it wouldn't shock me if he's like the Nate Mensah this year, of like older than you would think big guy who ends up on a two way and then is like playing real minutes by the end of the year.
There's a few good names left, man. Like Tyler Burton was a guy that I was in love with for years, and then he went to Villanova, which I thought was a good move, and then like had a not so good season. Teammate of a guy that I drafted, Alan Flanagan. I've often loved him for a long time as well. Tristan Inarunas got a lot of fans. I don't happen to be one, but he's a guy that
he's got
to
shoot. Like, he's like really got to shoot, and he's a guy who's never shot, so it's just hard to get too excited. But he's a guy who does everything, like the across the board production on Inarunas is really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just, for pro prospects, I should say, I'm just not there, man. But yeah, I don't have any more honorable mentions, Maxwell.
So I had a couple. Keelan Boone, the Boone that's like a shooter. Yeah, so there's the two Boone twins. There's the one that's like a small ball five, and then there's the Boone that's a small ball five, and then there's the other Boone that's more of like a twitchy wing that shoots threes and stuff. He's the twitchy wing that shoots threes. Solid defender still, like good mobility. Does a really good job of just covering ground, eating up space, and yeah, like just really interesting. Another guy who's like really thin, so it's gonna be interesting to see how he handles the physicality if he does get like an Isaiah Crawford style matchup of like you're being guarded by like the smartest man in the world who is also like a tank. Like, what are you gonna do? That's gonna be interesting. And then like two more of like the Jameson Battley like shooter type guys, Alex Dukas and Kyle Rode. Is like, he's another one of those like just burly guys, like 6'7", really wide, really strong, very good passer, like almost like 3-to-1 assist turnover ratio points throughout his college career, and a knockdown guy, like 39% on like 8 attempts per game is the leading option this year. So a guy who can really clearly shoot the ball. And then Alex Dukas is a guy who's also like 6'7" and really strong, solid decision maker. Pretty heavy laterally for both of those guys. So like how they move is going to determine, like, are they guys that get E10s? Are they the guys that can play themselves straight into a two way? Like, we'll see. But yeah, those are the two other guys I thought about.
I love it, man. So Maxwell, I think that's going to do it for the inaugural. Then am I saying that right? Inaugural Sicko Bowl that we've had this year, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. So you got a big meltdown. So I'm going to have you wrap up the show here.
Yeah. Easy day. All right. So, first off, everybody, thank you for tuning in. I'm looking at the viewers right now, and you know, on X and on YouTube, that's incredible. Thank y'all so much. I know that Maxwell has got a fun piece coming out this week covering all the sickos that we talked about in more detail than you could just listen to on the pod. So you're going to want to look at that as a companion piece for this podcast, right? And Maxwell, that's coming out on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, so that'll be out Wednesday, and then I've got at least two player interviews that should be out Tuesday as well. I already interviewed Malphi Leon, so I drafted, but we've got Kyle Rode coming out, we've got Quincy Oliveri coming out, and potentially a few more. It's just gonna depend on how things shake out schedule wise for guys.
Yeah, and right now, this time of the year, man, where like schedules get pretty crazy, not only for the players but for us as well. My first piece since my return is going to be dropping on Tuesday, where I'm covering Iowa's Peyton Stanford. So you're going to want to look at that. The name of that article is A Firm Foundation, really leaning on the Sanford part of his last name, right? So good play on words there. But otherwise, yeah, just continue, everybody, to like, share, subscribe, rate, and review everything that we have going on over here at No Ceilings. Please share the podcast with your friends. Share our big boards, which are available at NoCeilingsNBA.com, as well as all of our articles. Corey just dropped the latest like draft comparisons, where it's essentially like a temperature check of how all the consensus big boards are feeling about players. So please go and check that out as well. And, you know, it's going to be t- time here soon for the NBA draft. So, you know, as you're continuing to get closer to the draft, you're getting ready to talk about all these things or all these players with your friends at the Scuttlebutt, just please continue to tune in. And, you know, we're going to have like some pretty cool draft material dropping here soon. But that's pretty much going to do it for everybody here at No Ceilings. If you want to follow Maxwell on Twitter, is going to be the best place to do that at Boundboards. Follow me on Twitter at Stephen G Hoops and at No Ceilings NBA across all socials. For the rest of the team who just got done hanging out at the Hoop Summit up in Portland. Yeah. So you're going to want to check that out and get your drinks ready, because you're going to have to take a drink every time you hear them talk about the Hoop Summit. So
I got to say, those guys killed the Hoop Summit coverage. Like, they did a bunch of stuff on No Ceilings Plus. So subscribe to No Ceilings Plus if you haven't already. Like, there is some phenomenal coverage from them, like daily updates. So a lot of great stuff over there that you're going to want to check out.
Absolutely. Well, Maxwell, that's going to do it for us. So let's say goodbye to the nice people.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Much love, y'all.